You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, the only true and living God, who loves us so dearly, full of grace and mercy, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is Be Truthful and Honest, Part 2. My scripture comes from Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. My text is Ephesians 4, 25, which states, Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. The church leaders with various gifts are to equip the saints, all Christians, so that they can do the work of ministry. All Christians have spiritual gifts that should be used in ministering to one another for the edifying of the body of Christ, that is, to build up the church, which is Christ's mystical body, by an increase of their graces and an addition of new members. All are designed to prepare us for heaven. The diversity of gifts serves to bring about the unity of Christ's people. Some people think they are learning, that the learning of doctrine is inherently divisive, but it is people who divide the church. Whereas the knowledge of the Son of God, both knowing Christ personally and understanding all that he did and taught, is edifying, are building up, and brings about mature manhood when set forth in love. The work of the gifted ministers are to proclaim and teach the word centered on Christ rather than on intellectual questioning or accepted conduct teachings of their own. Christ Jesus is the standard of the maturity to which the church must strive for. Christ's fullness is the full experience of his divine and human perfection. Now we should never come to the perfect man till we come to the perfect world. There is a fullness in Christ and a fullness to be derived from him, and a certain quality of growth of that fullness and a measure of that growth are assigned in the counsel of God to every believer. And we never come to that measure till we come to heaven. God's children, as long as they are in this world, are growing. The apostle shows what was God's design in his churches and what effect they ought to have upon us, as that we henceforth be no more children, that is, that we may be no longer children in knowledge, weak in faith, and unstable in our judgments, easily yielding to every temptation, readily complying with everyone's humor, and being at everyone's back. Children are easily imposed upon. Immaturity in the truths of Christian doctrine makes the church to gullible children, like gullible children tossed helplessly by the waves and winds of cunning and deceitful schemes of false teachers. By the sleight of man signifies that mischievous skillfulness of seducers and cunning craftiness, by which is meant their skillfulness in finding ways to seduce and deceive. For it follows, whereby they lie in wait to deceive as in an ambush, in order to frustrate the weak and drive them from the truth. The best method we can take to strengthen ourselves against such is to study the Bible and to pray for illumination and grace of the Spirit of Christ, that we may know the truth as it is in Jesus and be established in it. Also, that we should speak the truth in love, or follow the truth in love, or be sincere in love to our fellow Christians. While we stick to the doctrine of Christ, which is the truth, we should live in love one with another. The truth must not be used as a club to bully people into acceptance and obedience, but must always be presented in love. The truth leads the Christian to maturity, which is defined here as growing up in Christ. As head, Christ leads, directs, and guides the body. Love is an excellent thing, but we must be careful to preserve truth together with it. Truth is an excellent thing, yet it is necessary that we speak it in love and not in rivalry. These two should go together, truth and peace. That we should grow up into Christ in all things, into Christ so as to be more deeply rooted in Him. In all things, in knowledge, love, faith, and all the parts of the new man. We should grow up towards maturity, which is opposed to being children. Those are improving Christians who grow up into Christ. The more we grow into an acquaintance with Christ, faith in Him, love to Him, dependence upon Him, the more we shall flourish in every grace. He is the head, and we should thus grow, that we may thereby honor our head. The Christian's growth tends to the glory of Christ. We should be assisting and helpful one to another as members of the same body. Paul continues the body metaphor and describes the church's maturity. Every member, every believer, viewed as a limb or unit in Christ's body, plays a crucial role in the growth. This growth. There is no Christian maturity or true Christian ministry without love. And every act of love in the name of Christ is valued and remembered by Him as each part is working properly. When you become a Christian, take attention to lying and be ever careful to speak the truth. Wherefore, since you have been so well instructed in this duty and are under such obligations to do it, let it appear in your future behavior and conduct that there is a great and real change formed in you, particularly by putting away lying. Of this sin, the heathen were very guilty, affirming that a profitable lie was better than a hurtful truth. And therefore, the apostle encouraged them to cease from lying, from everything that is contrary to truth. This is a part of the old man that must be put off, and that branch of the new man that must be put on. We must speak the truth in all our conversations with others. It is the character of God's people that they are children who will not lie, who dare not lie, and who hates lying. All who have grace must be concerned about speaking the truth and would not tell a deliberate lie for the greater gain and benefit to themselves. The reason here given for truthfulness is we are members one of another. Truth is a debt we owe to one another. And if we love one another, we should not deceive nor lie one to another. We belong to the same body, which lying tends to dissolve. And therefore, we should Avoid it and speak truth. Let us remember that Jesus paid the price for our sins by being crucified on a cross. So let us take up our cross daily and be obedient to his will. Jesus was crucified on a cross for our sins. While on the cross, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. But after 3 days, he arose from the dead with all powers in his hands. Because he loves us so much, let us be obedient to his word. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good day and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is the perfect friend. There are basically three types of friendships. First, friendships of utility, which exist between you and someone who is useful to you in some way. Second, friendships of pleasure, which exist between you and those whose company you enjoy. And third, friendships of the good, which are based on mutual respect and admiration. However, I want to introduce you to a friendship with the perfect friend. God created you for relationship with him. He delights in your voice, your laughter, and your ideas. He longs to fellowship with you. When life gets difficult, do you run to him with your frustrations? When you're overwhelmed with sadness or grief, do you carry your pain to him? When you're angry, do you call on him for freedom? He is a friend that offers all of this to us and more in mercy and love. He is worthy of our friendship. The friendship he offers to us is a gift of immeasurable worth. There is no one like him. Indeed, there is none as worthy of our fellowship than God Almighty, our Creator and Redeemer. Train your heart to run first to God with your joy and pain. His friendship will never let you down. Revelation 3:20 says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. Proverbs 27:9 says that a sweet friendship refreshes the soul. One of my favorite hymns is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. The first stanza says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Remember, all have violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. But the good news is that you have the opportunity to believe that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, who died, was buried, and arose so that you may have everlasting life. So for the unsaved, it's the right time for you to believe the good news, repent, and accept Christ by faith as your Lord and Savior. For the saved, it's the right time for you to continue to pray, trust and obey his word, and take purposeful action for his glory. Stay encouraged, my friends, and keep looking up. Shalom.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.